Next, we're still discussing Darkei HaMori and Chukot HaGoyim and so on, and we were investigating sort of two aspects of that. One was purely the issue of superstition, and the other was the issue of mode of dress and so on. So let me quickly go over one or two items that I think were in the general handout that I left on the issue of superstition, and then I want to revert to the problem of Chukot HaGoyim. So here's the tshuva of the Binyan Tzion. I believe this is in the handout, although I have it as a separate item. She'ela, it should be near the end. Ish tzadik v'chashuv nafal mishkav, v'ya'atzuhu levakesh trufa al ha'pa'ula shekorin magnetizim. So he was being asked to whether it was allowed to undergo treatment by magnetization, animal magnetism, which I guess today we would call hypnosis. She'al yidei ha'pa'ula zu na'aseh ha'choli ki yashen b'li hargasha. The sick person would appear to be asleep without any feeling. A change in character took place. Since obviously some extra natural forces must be at play in hypnosis, and therefore we have to worry that perhaps the unholy spirits are engaged in forces here. So what to do? Are you allowed to cure a patient by hypnosis?
So why do I use the magnetism?
It was called in those days animal magnetism. Tshuva. Tshuva. Sha'alti et pi chachmei umot ha'olam. I asked the non-Jewish doctors, ma da'atam the pulat ha'magnetizim. What is their opinion about use of animal magnetism in medicine? In yeshbo mamash b'shinui ha'teva k'shom shem esafim, is there some extra-natural force, as they tell us? Olo, or not. U'mutzatim b'de'ot chalukot, and I find that there's a difference of opinion. Yesh sh'amu sh'akol hevel v'chazav, that it's all nonsense, v'ein na'ase shinui klal, it's just simply that the imaginative faculties of the sick person are excited. So he has the delusion that he is seeing wonderful things. There must be some natural basis, a physical explanation of these visions, but we still do not understand how it works, and only a small amount can we understand how these types of visions can take place. Even if it would so be, she'ein l'mitzo mafeach klal eich b'derach ha'teva yesh shinui gadol b'kod l'anyirim al p'ulat ha'magnetizion. Even if it is possible that we have no natural explanation as to how hypnosis works, in kol zeh, ein onu tzrichim l'harchik v'lachush mi she'kochot ha'tumah na'aseh. We don't have to assume that this is has as its source the evil forces. Sheharei l'fi ha'mubar v'poskim v'psak v'shinu chanoch mutal l'trapot al yudei lachash. One is allowed to apply incantations. K'she'enu b'vadai mazkir shem v'odazar l'lachash, k'she'enu k'omer l'odazar. K'omer v'adai mazkir v'avol v'sapek shari. We certainly have no explanation as to how incantations can work to cure a sick person. We assume that there are many laws of nature which are still hidden from us. Why should we be more worried about hypnosis than we are about incantations? In contrary to people who mouth incantations, who are really superstitious, those who use hypnosis as a cure, ma'aminim shenaasa yidei hateva. They believe that this is a natural procedure, v'lo ayidei pu'uliot pu'ulot ruchaniyot, and not on the basis of spiritual activity, etc., etc. So that's his decision.
Who is that?
This is Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, who was the chief rabbi in Altona in the first part of, well, the middle of the 19th century.
Very open-minded
on this. Don't generalize from this particular tshuva. Okay, so that's
his conclusion.
The conclusion is that since the doctors themselves don't know how hypnosis works, but none of the doctors believe that it's an invocation of evil spirits or unnatural sources, there's no reason for us to assume that it is a superstitious act. And certainly it's better than incantations, which were allowed in the Talmud, so therefore there should be nothing prohibited. That's his...
Well, incantations were allowed only to allay the person's fears about his...
That's what you and the Rambam say. That's the rationalist view of the subject.
That's why you didn't hurt anybody, so...
Right. But those who believe in the incantations believe that it did have some more effective policy. In fact, on the whole issue of the nature of these seemingly weird cures that we find in the Talmud, I mean, the Talmud lists many, many types of medications, and I'm just reminding you of what Rav Shavira Gaon wrote about this when they asked him to explain the meanings of these various strange terms that occur in the Talmud to do this, that, and the other thing, and some of the words were so technical that the questioner didn't know how to deal with this. He writes, "Tzrichin anu lameima lachon, we're obliged to inform you, the rabbanan lav asuta inu, that rabbis are not medical doctors. Umilin ba'alma da chazinan zamninu levata chad chad chetzira amunin v'lav divrei mitzvanin. They collected various items and listed them, but you should not regard these collections as commandments. Hilchach lo tismuchun al ilein esuta. Therefore do not rely on any of the medical treatments that are prescribed in the Talmud. The leka da avid bin hamidam ella da batal da nivdak, do not apply any of them unless they have been actually checked out. V'yadai b'vadai machmat rofim b'kiyin, and you know for sure on the basis of expert medical opinion, da'ai lo ma'ika l'chom, that these things do you no harm. The leka da leite and do not bring yourself into danger by trying to practice medicine by reading the Talmud. And this is what we learned from our fathers and forefathers. Do not apply any of the medical rules that you see in the Talmud unless they actually have been checked out medically. So now this is Rav Shura Gaon writing when? In the 10th century. And I would wish that many of the people living in the 20th century would pay attention to very simple and straightforward statements.
But the Golden Gaon we mentioned before was taken by Shadam. He said it's not because it's mentioned, we shouldn't just throw it out.
Right.
So here's his Shura Gaon. and he says, don't take those things seriously. Not right. Everything that's in Talmud and Gomorrah is
right.
Right.
In particular, don't practice medicine out of the Talmud. And it's an unfortunate fact that nowadays a lot of superstitious medicine is returning in various places in the Jewish community. It's pretty weird. And even superstitious medicine, which has no basis in the Talmud, like putting some pigeon over a patient who has hepatitis and various other things, whose origins certainly don't go back more than a century. In other words, new magical superstitious medicine is being practiced in this general trend towards primitivism that we see in many of these communities. Even medications that are not on the Talmud. Yet Rav Shurgon simply tells you, even if it's written in the Talmud, don't pay any attention to it. Okay?
That's pretty strong. Pretty good. Pretty strong.
Yeah, well, I didn't say it. Rav Shurgon said I agree with him, but the point is that. Okay, so much on the issue of medicine. Now I want to go back to the other aspect of Darkei HaMori, which we mentioned briefly. We discussed a wearing of a robe, medical uniform, which the Maharik allowed and which was censored out of the Maharik, the Warsaw edition. And we learned the Tshuva of Moshe that Jews are not obliged necessarily to wear a long kapata or dress differently than non-Jews. Now let me get to the slightly more touchy question of head covering. So,
men or women?
Both, but I'm not talking about head covering of women as an issue of tzniut. I'm talking about wearing a yarmulke.
What's that got to do with our father's arm?
Has to do with whether Jews are obligated to be dressed differently than non-Jews.
Except the Pope does not.
Should look like the Pope. She'ela. This is the question of from the Truma Sadesh. Yesh mekomot shegozrin v'sha'i ha'umot shelo yavar ben b'gitvay. There are places in which the anti-Semites don't allow Jews to pass through. The asher yimatzei dato l'tofso al nafsho. If a Jew is caught in these regions, he is in mortal danger. V'sha'i ben b'nif l'shtanot l'damot b'gadav l'nachri l'lechet b'gilui rosh k'mon nachrim shelo yakiuru olok. Are you allowed to remove your hat and in general dress as a non-Jew or not? So obviously, already at least at the time and the place of the Truma Sadeshen, the Jewish custom was to keep the head covered. I won't read the whole tshuva, but I'll be added tzarich l'dakdek b'davar. We have to look into this issue. B'sefer Chasidim matzati. Etc. Well, so he says, on the one hand, basically it's permissible, but on the other hand, so on one hand, one shouldn't appear as a Christian, but on the other hand, maybe it's permissible.
But the reason is just a lot of desire.
Yeah. Well, now, let me point out.
Is that Kohen HaMora may sort of why he let him go to the place?
Of the yeah, of course. He didn't have to pass through. He mentions that he doesn't have to pass in that place in the first place. Is it or is it not permissible? Did Jews always, or under normal circumstances, cover their head? On the one hand, we have the Gemara Nedar. Mishnah, an oder mishchore harosh, someone who makes a neder not to have any benefit to the people with the black heads, Asur b'karachim u'balei seivot. He's not allowed to deal with bald-headed people or old-headed people whose hair has turned white. U'mutav b'nashim u'ktanim. But he is allowed to have dealings with women or with youngsters. She'ein ikraim shcharei harosh ela anashim. People are called dark-haired or black-headed or only men. Gemara, my time, me the loka amami ba'alei se'ar. He didn't say that you're not allowed, he's not going to have anything to do with people who have any hair. Umutav anashim uktanim, she'eni kra'in shorei rosh ela anashim, my time. What's the reason? Anashim, zimnim de mechzurei shayu, zimnim de megalei reshayu. Sometimes their head is covered and sometimes their head is not covered. And therefore, they can be called black-haired people. Nashim la'olam michzu, uktanim la'olam migu. Okay, so obviously, from the Gemara Nedarim, the implication is that people, some did and some did not. It wasn't a universal custom for Jews to go around covering their hair. On the other hand, we have some famous Gemaras. Here I printed them out. Again, I'm using my printer instead of the Xerox machine, so I have to pass the pages out one by one. So Gemara in Kedushin, Amar Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, Asur la'adam she'aleich arba'a me'amot bekomas kufa. A person shouldn't walk in a haughty manner of upright, in a haughty manner for amot, she'ne'amar malei kala aretz kvodo. Rav Huna b'reida Rav Yehoshua lo miski arba amot begilui rosh. He did not walk for amot with his head uncovered. Amar shechina l'ma'ala mimoshi. The shechina is above my head. And also we have the Gemara on Shabbat. Amar Rav Huna b'reida Rav Yehoshua teiti li d'lo sagina arba amot begilui rosh. I should be rewarded for the fact, I'm entitled to a reward for the fact that I never walked for 4 cubits with my head uncovered. So does that mean that everybody should walk with this head covered, or is that he is deserving of a special reward for not... And also, Gemara a little later in Shabbat, Ein mazal Yisrael. The Jews are not necessarily completely determined. Their fate is not completely determined by the stars. The imedo of Nachman ben Yitzchak, amri le kaldoi, brich barech gan bahav. The mother of Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak was told by the astrologers that your son is a thief. It's in his nature, because he was born in such and such a sign, inevitably he will be a thief. Lo shaf ketei gilui reshe. She didn't ever allow him to go with his head uncovered. Amra le kasir reshe ki heke de tehavi alech emot adashmaya. Cover your head so that the fear of heaven will be upon you. Uvoi rachmi, and pray for mercy. Lo havi yada amayka amwila. He never understood what she was telling him. Yom Achad, Yativ, he was sitting, Kagaris Tuti Dikla, he was sitting underneath a palm tree. Nafal Glima Me'iluye, something, his head covering fell, Me'iluye Reshe, the head covering fell off his robe. Dali Ene, he lifted up his eyes, Ledikla, Alme Yitzre, he was overcome by desire, Salik, Paske, Likibur, Abishine, and he climbed up the tree and bit off a cluster of grapes with his teeth. In other words, it was only the fact that he had his yarmulke on all his life that prevented him from being overcome by the temptation of stealing. Okay, and then you have also in Masechet Sofrim, where something, there's only one thing, that's probably the next thing that I'm going to do. Truva Mashal? What is that? Yeah, you can hold on to that since that's going to be the next item. But now just the, all right. Katan kore b'torah u'metargem, aval eino poreis al shma lomer yotzeo, ve'eino over lefnei hateva, ve'eino nosei et kapar. פוחח הנרים קראה ובגדה קרונים ומי שראשו מגולה פורס על שמה. All of these people are allowed to be פורס על שמה. In other words, they go before the Amid in one form or another. ויש אומרים בחרב נרים ובגדה קרונים פורס על שמה אבל בראשו מגולה אינו רשאוי להוציא הזכרה מפיו. But with his head uncovered, he is not allowed to mention God's name. So the implication is that one is not allowed to pray or mention God's name, etc., with an uncovered head. Okay.
Doesn't differentiate inside the old side. Doesn't differentiate inside the house the old side.
No. Now let's go.
Do you want to look for something in your database under what heading? Really wrong, sure.
For instance, if there's no subject heading. You have to, it's sort of like riding a bicycle. You have to sort of learn by practice how to do it and then become a little skilled. In this particular case, you can see how I looked it up because, where is it? I used Drosho, for instance. And that's not too advisable unless I limited my database. I knew that there was, from my memory that there was something in the Sahat Sofrim, so all I had. That it was safe enough for me to look for a Rosho in the Sefer Sofer, for instance. But if, well, do you have the database at home?
No, I'm just thinking about
if you're thinking, if you get one and you need to have some skills, special training in how to use it, I'll be glad to do that. But at the moment, you can let me do the work. Okay.
Yeah. Like most database searches, you more or less know what you're looking for when you start.
Right. That helps in any way. Okay.
And the implication that something entry is only that you're dominating, you move wrong, you get the wrong practice or control of what they're doing.
Okay. All right. Now let's read this tshuva. Let's read this tshuva of the Mavsha. She'ela. The two pages of the tshuva of the Mavsha. She'ela. Misha Rosha Kalbei. Somebody who has a headache. Or just feeling heavy-headed, literally. It's too much of a burden to wear a hat while you're eating. Are you allowed to eat with a bare head? Tshuva. Ein ani yodea isur lebarech b'lo kisui rosh. I don't know why there should be any prohibition to make a bracha without your head being covered. Uvumari, the Tuma Sadeshen, pashut lo she'asur v'haskarat shem b'lo kisui rosh. He takes it for granted that you cannot mention God's name with your head uncovered. V'lo yadana mimai. And I have no idea what his source is. V'hine matzati shekatav b'msechet sofrim. Yesh bo machloket shekatuv polchei hanirin kra'av v'gadav trumim. Homi sharosho mugulim mugula pares ha'shmav. Yesh amin b'chav v'gadav trumim pares ha'v'lo b'rosho mugula. That's what we just read in Masechet Sofrim. Rabbeinu Yerucham katav b'sof mitzvat zayin she'asur levarech b'gilui harosh. Rabbeinu Yerucham said that one should not make a bracha with a bare head. Ulei she'eineni ragil lachalok al ha'akodim im lav she'yesh gadol she'yasa'eini. If it weren't for the fact that I'm not in the habit of disagreeing with my earlier scholars without some supporting source, I would tend to allow one to make a bracha with a bare head, and even to say the Shema should be permissible with a bare head.
שהרי איתה במדרש רבה, אמר רבי ביחיה, מלך פסל באדם משגע פרוטגמה שלו למדינה, מה הם עושים כל בני עומדים רגליהם ופורים את ראשם וקורין אותו באימה ביירה ברטת ובזיה. When a protocol is sent to a distant country, all of the people stand up and are shivering and shaking and reading. אבל קדש ברוך הוא יתברך המייל ישראל, קראו קריאת שמע, פרוטגמה בדי, you should read קריאת שמע, my declaration, הרי לא הכרחתי אליכם לקרות לא עומדים ולא קרואי ראש. I haven't asked you to stand or to take your heads or hats off when you're reading it. משמע להב ידלקה איסור בקרואי ראש, אלא שלא החמיר עליהם. The implication of this midrash is that people were not obligated to remove their hats for the reading of Shema, but not that there was certainly not that there was any prohibition against the removal of the hats. So, but what can I do? The custom has been to prohibit prayer or the saying of Kriya Shema without a hat on. Aval bezet mahein. But this is what is surprising to me. Shenahavu isur b'kriyat harosh af b'lo tefila. That there's a custom not to go with the head uncovered, even when you're not saying a prayer. V'lo yadati me'ein zelahem. And I have no idea what the source of this could be. Ki lo matzino isur b'kriyat harosh ki im l'isha. The only place that we've seen that there's a prohibition to have the hair on head uncovered is for a woman. Ki dita b'perka madir. Mimidat chasidut hiv shelo lelech be'arba amot gilui harosh. That it's midat chasidut not to walk four cubits with a head uncovered. V'davka halichat arba amot ki dita b'perka kol kitvei amar v'chanina. All of these are statements of why these people are worthy of special rewards, and this one was the special reward for going, not never walking arba amot with a head uncovered. Only to do it in a high-handed manner, in a haughty manner, it is prohibited. There's no prohibition. The people had no shame about being haughty. The other Abahadim Vashirim Hokim Nituyega Rolib. People wear a yarmulke and walk around in a haughty manner, the opposite of what the Talmud prescribes. Lo Mahmatsfil Chasidut, not because that they're being exceedingly pious, Elasa Rimdat Yehudit, because they falsely believe that this is a religious obligation. Od Matzati Katur, Hadagali Rosh Hanu bi Avya Hashamayim Dafka, that is only under the open sky. He's walking out of doors, perhaps walking in a haughty fashion or in a bareheaded fashion is indication of rebellion. That it's a pious act to keep the head covered when you mention God's name. Shelo yeh b'gilui rosh kamoho lech arba amot be'ero shamayim. V'chein matzati katuv b'shem Rami Rutenberg shekol zeh midat chasidut. Ela sharif katav sheyesh l'mchot shelo likanes b'beit ha'kneset b'gilui rosh. But the Rif says that one should not enter a synagogue bareheaded. V'chein atur lo katav yechaser rosho ela l'gabei tefila v'lo l'gabei kriyat shema. That's the rule. Uma eseh sha'am nago b'yisur, but that the custom has been to be strict on this matter. Ve'eini rasha'i l'hakel l'fnei. V'shamati al chacham echad k'shayal omeid hayal omeid b'gilui harosh. That it was as difficult for him to wear a hat on his head, and he felt more comfortable studying with bare head. Since the general public believes falsely that there is some prohibition against walking around bareheaded or being bareheaded, therefore a scholar should take the trouble of keeping his head covered. I will discuss the shame of the Ashkenazim. Bevadai, mishu shotei yayin nesach b'malon shel goyim v'yochel dagim v'bushalim b'keilim shelahim. במחמיר הוא שמאמין לפונדקית שלא בשלו בה, אין חוששים הבא, ואין בו כנח לא. Someone who goes into a bar and drinks non-Jewish wine or eats the cooking, and they honor him, especially if he's a rich man, a powerful man in the community. But someone who eats only kosher food, but he eats it with his bare head, they persecute him as if he has left the community. A wise man should take care that he should not be falsely suspected by the community. If it's hard for him to wear a hat, he should wear a linen or a silk cloth. Certainly enough if you cover your head with your hand. Certainly on occasion, if you find yourself waking up in the middle of the night or in the swimming pool or something, you can cover your head with your hand and make a block. That's
it. Seems from the early quotes, Gemara, that God did not trouble them to the hat, that it was in fact a custom not to
wear a hat.
No, to wear a hat. But it says, I did not trouble you to remove the hat.
They don't have to take off your hat, but you don't have to wear one either, is what the Mashal said. Okay.
When was that? Was it 18th, 17th?
What?
17th century.
The Marshal? That's 16th century.
Very up to date.
Very up to date.
As a kid, we always would put a hand out, a hand over your head to make a book. Mm-hmm.
All right. It's not clear that, you know, it's either, it may be a long transition period, because the Trumas Adeshen in Vienna seems to be having a clear Jewish custom to keep the head covered. The evidence in other places are that it was not necessarily so.
Could it be possible that because the people in the area, non-Jews, that is, would not wear a hat, that the Jews would put on a hat, so to make a differentiation?
If there was some such requirement, but after all, we learned from the Maharik, at least the opinion in Italy was that Jews don't dress differently than non-Jews. That's what the truth of the Maharik that we studied about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
That was only the medical.
No, he said in general there's no requirement for Jews to dress differently from non-Jews unless the issue of the clothing is one of modesty or one of a religious. Okay, all of this, of course, is not taking into account the problems that Jews face with when they have to come into contact with non-Jews. Here is I'll read three more. One I don't believe I've handed out, and the other two I will hand out. This is from the Shvus Yaakov. So again, we're moving up a century or and a half or so. Moshel gadol lo dukas shavah lebeit ha-knesset. Ishori lahasir ha-kova me'al rosho kedei lechavdo. Are you allowed to take your hat off when the duke comes into the Beit HaKnesset? Afo pishe nish'ar omeid v'gilui ha-rosh. Tshuva. Ikar ha-din v'isur gilui ha-rosh ein lo ikar u'makor barur v'shas. It has no clear origin. Ki isur purei rosh ha-ne'asar v'mikdash gufei zeru kai al gilui ha-rosh rak al gidul sa'ar rosho kediga v'san ebit ha-kha feysel in v'ezer v'amon pek alf mi'okot v'yat mikdash ha-in sham. The actual phrase "Purei Rosh" originally meant simply with an insufficient haircut. The Rambam said in Hilchot Tefillah, "Lo ya'amod adam betefillah v'lo b'rosh mugula." And Katav Beit Yosef be'orachayim simin tzadikalach v'zeh l'shono. וזה לשון הכל בו בסימן ירח, כתב הרמב״ם שאין איסור ללך בגילוי הראש, כי מה שאמור בפרק כל כתבי תתי לגבולו סגינה ארבע עמות בגילוי הראש, רצונו לא מעמך כדמידת חסידות. It's only a pious act. הרב כתב שיש למחות שלא להיכנס בבית הכנסת בגילוי ראש עד כאן לשונו. ומזה למד הבית יוסף שכתב בשולחנו סימן צדק א', ויש אומרים שיש למחות שלא להיכנס בבית הכנסת בגילוי הראש עד כמה שנה. וכיוון דאין זה איסור גמור, since this is not a real prohibition, רק ממידת חסידות, ומצינו הרבה דברים אסורים שהתירו משום שלום מלכות, and many things that were prohibited were allowed for שלום מלכות, מכל שכן שיש להתיר כהי גבנו משום שלום מלכות. ועוד יש לומר המדקדק הרי"ש שלא להיכנס בבית הכנסת דווקא בשעת הכניסה מחמירה על דעת שכתב הזוהר שצריך להיכנס בשחר עם טלית ותפילין לבית הכנסת כדי לקיים עבוד משפחת ולאכול קדשך ויראתך, כמו שכתב בשוב הדרזז. אבל אם כבר השתחרר בבית הכנסת, if you already came into shul and bowed down, אין קפדה כל כך, היכה דהיקה שלום מלכות. וגדולה מזו פסק מעשר בתשובה סימן הנבייס, והוא היתר גמור להתפלל ולכל קריא השמם בגילוי ראש. ואף שעיקר רעייתו שהביא אינו מוכרח כלל, שעיקר רעייתו ממדרש רבו, אמר ברכם, אנחנו בשר משל פרגטיה שלו ולמדינו, הם עושים כל בני ירמיני רגליים, פורים את ראשיהם וקוראים אותו, ואימא ביירה, אבל קדש ברוך הוא קריא השמם ולא טרחתי להם, ולכל לא עומדים ולא אומרות רעי ראש, משמע להדיר בלקע יישום משלי הראש שלא יכבר עליהם, הייתה לשם השאל, ובאמת משמה אין רעייה כלל, דהלו אית השם במדרש, אמר רב קדש ברוך הוא יוד בהימות מסרתי לך שלושה ברשותך ושבע אינם שאינם שאינם ברשותך שור כשק סבים וסעיזים זין שאינם שור אייל צביב יקמו ועקב ולישון אותו בסמר ולא יתרחתיך על יתייגע בערים להביא לפני כבן מאלו שאינם ברשותך אלו ממה שאין ברשותך וכן נמי נמי מהפי שלא נחמיר עליהם אבל מותר להם איזה מקרבן וזה ודאי איקה איסור etc. I don't know why he's arguing so much with the Raya of the Mashal. Maybe he's unhappy with it in the same way that you are. At any event, he decides that basically there's no reason to prohibit the taking off of a hat if the king or the duke comes to the synagogue, and that's the mode of respect. Apparently, you have to bow down when you come into the shul. Okay. The Gra also.
They came in as a national holiday. You know, the military commander came to the shul special services. What is there?
The Shulchan Aruch is a little unclear. Seder atifat o kedar keter nedan shenifkasim b'chsutan ve'oskim b'mlachtan pamim b'gisui rosh, pamim b'gilui rosh, v'nachon sheyichaser rosho b'talit.
And he writes, the Vilna Gaon writes, there's no such law that you have to have your head covered. The Medina apilu lepalel belikanes leveit haKnesset hakol muta kmo shechtov lamata. Ela lekan yesh loma lechol lachmir ma she'ein kemseve ein ro'el tznuim. ומה שכתוב בסכת שיש אומרים שאסור להוציא הזכרה ראש מוגלה גם כן מחידת מידת חסידות. The quotation from מסכת סופרים is also just the מידת חסידות, ובגמר דברכות סימן בייס לא משמע כהן, כמו שכתבתי לכמם סימן בזן, וכן הוא מרדושה בהנאה, ולא התרחתי עליכם, כלל עד למילטה אין איסור כלל בראש מוגלה לעולם. There is absolutely no prohibition to go without a hat at all. Rak lefnei gedolim v'chein v'yei tatfila, oz nachon hadavar litzar ha-musa. U'sha'a hayom, but the rest of the day to keep your head covered, l'kidoshim she'omdim lefnei Hashem tamid. This is something that's perhaps fit for those who devote themselves entirely to divine worship, but otherwise it is not an obligation. Okay? Now let's. This is in Hilchot Tzitzit, that Orach Chaim Siman Chet near the beginning.
That's where the Mishnah Berurah
comes from. I'm just reading it on. Okay. Now here's a tshuva of the Melamed Vahor.
In the yeshivas, they would learn that page there, or is that the one they cut out?
Just one page. She'ela. Are you allowed to swear in court with your head uncovered? Tshuva. This is the Melamed Lahor. I don't have time to go into this in lengthy detail. Buying the Beit Lechem Yehuda of Shara Ephraim, Shehivi Yusef, Romez al Shelot and Shubot, Fa'ayin Gamma Beit Hillel, Le Yodea Simon Kupnum Zayin, the Hayunotim Shochat Shelo Yitzfaku Shavah Begilu Herosh. Vihinei Ba'et Hazot, in our present time, so this is the end of the 19th century, Karabanim Hayereim Lemidat Ungarim, the Hungarian rabbis machmirim ma'od b'inyan gilui rosh. Ayin b'viru mehashas u'poskim b'sheilot u'tshuvot nachlet b'inyamin siman lamin. V'hinei ha'gro b'haga'otav l'siman chet sifkat n'beis ha'ela she'ein isur afilu lahotzi haskara b'gilui rosh. There's no prohibition even to mention God's name with your head uncovered. Ela midat hesidut. ומה שכתב שם בתשובת נחלת בנים שאם בבית חינוך שמו לחוב שצעירי ישראל צריכים לשב דווקא בפריח ראש ועושים כן על דעת אביהן וראשי העדה, if they insist that young Jewish children study with their head uncovered and do this on the basis of parental desire and the heads of the community, זה איסור גמור משום ובחוקותיהם לא תרם. This is prohibited because of משום ובחוקותיהם לא תרם. והנה בקהילה קדישה יראים דפאר פרנקפורט דמיין, in the Shimshon Rapport Heritage Community in Frankfurt, בבית החינוך שנתייסד מהגאון ושמשון רפואה הרשרי חצריך לברכה, שאני הייתי מורה שם I myself was a teacher in that school for 2.5 years. Yoshvim hatalmidim b'shat limud sha'ar hamada'im b'friyat rosh. The children used to study in whenever they were engaged in all secular studies, they would have their heads uncovered. And only at the time when they would study Torah would they cover their heads. And similarly, that was the custom in Hamburg. ובפעם הראשונה שבאתי לביתו של הרב הגאון רב שמשון לפרש בכובע הראשי, the first time that I first came to the house of Rav Shemshon Lefarash with my head on my hat on my head, אמר לי שכאן הוא דרך ארץ להסיר הכל מעל הראש כשבאים אל אדם חשוב. That here, it's respectful to take off your hat when you visit a distinguished person. So therefore, Rav Shemshon Lefarash, who wanted Rabbi Hoffman to remove his hat when he visited Rav Shimshon Lefarash at his home. Ulai yireh moreh acher yesh beit hachinuch she'ani eini moseh hakov ma'al roshi lifnei rosh beit hachinuch. If some other teacher, perhaps a non-Jewish teacher, will see that I will not remove my hat before the school director, hayom achashev ze ke'ilu ani mevazeh oto. He would get the impression that since I do not remove my hat when I'm talking to the director of the school, he would think that I am insulting him. And in these sorts of matters, the principle of v'chukoteihem lo teilechu does not apply. V'yum kein v'nidon didan im ha'shofet noten v'shut l'chasot ha'rosh v'shat ha'shua matov. If the judge allows you to keep your hat on during swearing, fine. Certainly, since he's going to be mentioning God's name when he takes an oath, and the Jewish custom is to keep the head covered during all such things, he should request this of the judge. Amnam, im ha'shofet eino rotzeit lo reshut, ein tzorich lekabel alav afilo onesh manon.